Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
DJ.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio, making a welcome return after about 6-7 years, the last time he toured. Alexei Sale came in to see us.
That's right, he was great.
The legendary comedian. He's been doing a fantastic radio series. And we talked about that. We talked a bit of football. We talked a bit of martial arts, as you'll discover.
I'm still getting over the producer's inspirational and motivational message just before we started this bit.
Yeah, it was tremendous. A bit sweary. It was a bit John Sitton. But anyway, it seems to have worked. Also, we had a bit of a chat, and Martin Kellner was here with a week of sport on TV. Depressed West Ham fan of Leeds. So here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs with you through until four here on Talk Sport, where this afternoon, while down here we've been worrying about Liverpool running away with the Premier League, up in space, indeed the International Space Station, they are making cookies, Andy. They are
really?
Baking cookies up there, yeah. They're trying to perfect baking cookies in space. They've got a small oven up there and they think they've cracked it. It did suddenly strike me that if it all went wrong, the oven blew up and a great big hole in the... perish the thought in the International Space Station. Old St. Peter, he'd be up there saying as they arrived, so, hang on, you were baking cookies in... You had an oven in space, in a space station. And it, yeah, well, I'm... Well, you know...
The great.
I'm sorry and all that, but anyway, it won't happen. Wicked as my old mum used to say, but it won't happen. I'm sure it's all under control.
Towards the world ending before Liverpool could actually take the title.
Yeah.
Coming up between now and four.
No,
we don't want that. Motti's here to preview. Some would. Motti's here to preview the FA Cup
United
weekend.
Fans would take that.
I think they might.
Would they take the end of the world over Liverpool? 08717. Andy Goldstein would.
He would.
Yeah.
Motti's here to preview the FA Cup weekend. We're here from the Tranmere.
Got a good side, they are.
Tranmere
Rovers.
Tranmere.
Make up some football team names as good as Tranmere Rovers this afternoon.
Tranmere supporting... I'm giving you a lot in this opener. Tranmere supporting commentator will be calling his boys against United on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we'll also talk legendary cuts man and short boxers.
We'll also take your calls, emails, texts and tweets. We're very excited because Alexei Sale will be popping in to see us a little bit later on before he heads off on tour.
That's right. There's all this plus the clips of the week, the Fool's Panel, Martin Kellner's Week of Sport on TV and Kobe says women should play in the NBA in Todd Macklin's American Sports Roundup.
Yeah, that amongst other things coming up with Todd Macklin later on. We'll have some transfer news for you as well, but it's 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. What a terrific game. I really enjoyed that game last night. You could see the Liverpool players were completely spent at the end of the match.
Yeah.
Wolves had given them a terrific game. I mean, you know, I thought they were going to win the game when they...
Yeah, they were fantastic, weren't they? The thing, every time you see Adama Traore now, it's incredible how much... I remember there was a Spurs-Borough game. Mm. I think Tottenham nicked it. And it was one of those classic matches where he was incredibly fast, but every cross hit the corner flag or went out, he fell over his own feet, or he just kept running.
He just ran
out of touch. And to look at this guy now, the accuracy of his crossing...
It's the mistake that we all make in the media, in the game, of writing somebody off. It's the same with Almiron. You know.
Well, some players never train on, but he's clearly worked incredibly
hard
at his game.
Offered him for about 20 million a couple of years back, and I thought, oh, no, don't buy him, for goodness sake. Yeah. Now you think, what a player.
Yeah.
But there you go. Stevie Mack said at one point...
Did you think he wanted Liverpool to... Did you sense he wanted Liverpool to win?
Yes. Of course he
wants to. I didn't expect
an
answer to that question.
No, of course he wants
to. I know.
But it's fair enough. I don't have a problem. I mean, Martin Samuel's written a piece. I should read the piece, though, but I heard Alan and guests talking about it this morning, you know, about the idea that commentators shouldn't be biased enthusiastic, or if they want to be like that, they should buy a ticket. I think that's nonsense. I do. I mean, I don't know. You know, Newcastle beat Chelsea. I wasn't very happy about it, but I enjoyed Alan Shearer. I respected it. Alan Shearer going mad on Match of the Day.
Because it's his team.
Because it's his team.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just point it out facetiously. I don't have a major problem with
it. Anyway, he said that Firmino hit the staunchion. And, of course, they don't have staunchions now.
You don't have a staunchion.
There's no staunchion.
Was it a stanchion? Was it a staunchion?
Well, for that, have a look at on YouTube, the Clive Allen Phoenix.
That's the great staunchion moment, isn't it? Stanchions.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite Phoenixes. It's really fun. Yeah. So that was good. What else did I have? Oh, Mark Clattenburg doing the sort of Peter Wharton role.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't sound like he looks, does he? Very soft-spoken Geordie.
He's gone down
there in the penalty box like.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to sound like that for some reason.
I heard him speak before, so it wasn't a massive shock.
I don't know how the players could hear him, really, when he was refereeing.
Yeah.
I suppose he spoke a bit louder.
Hmm.
And all the forwards now are getting injured. Have you noticed that? Kane, Rashford, Vardy, Abraham, and now Mane. It doesn't seem too serious, but that is, if anything's an indication of what they're playing too much football over Christmas,
time to dust off the old football wild geese plotline, isn't it? Where Alan Shearer and Wayne Rooney play up front for England at the Euros. Yeah. That we don't have a fit striker.
Well,
and then you'd see all that. You'd need a montage, wouldn't you, as they say?
Yeah, yeah.
And you need a montage of Alan and Wayne getting fit together. Well, I mean, Wayne's pretty fit already, but Alan would have some work to do with respect, wouldn't he? But just the two of them running out, this kind of wild geese. Gareth Southgate playing at the back.
I remember that.
And then has to take a penalty against Germany in the and this time he scores. He gets his redemption moment, unlike Stuart, Stuart Pearce did, but he gets his as well.
I remember that thing you used
to
do.
I'd watch it.
You would. That thing you used to do about Alan Shearer when people used to say, will he come back for he's not coming back.
He doesn't want to. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, really, if Alan would come out, he'd been retired 2 years at that point,
I know.
Even if he wanted to come back, it would have been a long road.
I can now only call or see Danny Gabbadon as Tom Gabbadon after that thing.
Because Bobbin Arbroath and others have said he sounds like the
Tom
TV chef Tom
Kerridge.
It
was amazing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it last night. And finally, one from the Court Circular this morning. Miss E.C. Putt has got engaged, and sadly, she hasn't got married. She's got engaged to somebody called Mr. Pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Pitch and Putt. That'd be marvellous.
Yeah, well, we were with you, Andy. You didn't need to spell it out. Yeah,
I thought, just in case.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us in the studio now, making a welcome return. He popped and saw us a few years back, possibly when he was last touring. It is Alexi Sale. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be back.
It's been seven years since you've toured, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I've done stand-up. I've done kind of patchy stand-ups in the odd run, Soho Theatre and stuff. But I think that, 7 years since I did it. Yeah.
I mean, we were just saying off air, we're both big fans of Imaginary Sandwich by your radio, the three radio series you've done.
Yeah.
And so we both came to it
Really about 6 months ago. I discovered it. I told you it's a joy to find something like that when you didn't see it, didn't catch it the first time
was Series 3, and we're working our way back through the series, and they're all on the BBC Sounds, but it's a sensational series.
It's been a real, because when you get in your 60s and stuff, you have to kind of try and find new areas, but they're kind of coming together, me and Radio 4 and that series. I think it plays to all my strengths. Really, it's not as kind of in your face as the stand up, but it's about politics and social themes and stuff, and it just fits perfectly with where I am now.
Well, the title kind of makes you think it might be a sitcom, but it isn't, because it's
imaginary customer comes in every week.
It's a device. It just gets you into the stand-up.
It came from... since the sort of 80s, I've been telling people that I run a sandwich bar. and some people tell me they've been there, and it's the kind of thing that I do. Is tell people I run, it's the kind of way I am slightly.
Is that the, is that to the question? Oh, what are you up to these days then, Alexei? I've seen you on the telly.
I say, exactly. I'm very much wrapped up with the sandwich bar, you know, and, you know, all the new fillings these days and stuff, you know, and it's tough. It's tough out there, man, you know, with the, all the change and stuff. So, yeah, so I talk to people about
it. And I was saying to you, your influence is far-reaching. I won't name them, but I can hear other comedians who've definitely been influenced by you.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think because, you know, partly because I just came at the start of something, you know, when we started at the Comedy Store in the late 70s, you know, there was a huge vacuum and we just, you know, we filled it, but we also set, you know, I particularly set a style. And I'm trying to, I was on another show, and I'm trying to get young comedians to kind of form a fund where they chip in, like Arena Acts, chip in like 50p, smaller acts, just a penny or something, you know, and it'd be a fund that would really acknowledge.
I bought that album, the Comedy Store album.
Yeah. Did you really?
A wax disc.
Yeah. It was a proper wax cylinder.
It was vinyl.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah. I remember that. Yeah. But it's interesting how your influence is still being felt, because Claire Tomlinson, you know, the Sky Sports presenter, she's just got a new car. And she put it on Facebook, and the thing she said was, "Hello, Claire, got a new motor."
Yeah, she got loads of those back. So, did people in vans still shout that at you now and again?
Very occasionally, I'm at the point now where I'm grateful for that. it's you know, any recognition is gratefully received these days. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a long career and a kind of weird one, but you know, there's been some strange outcroppings, yeah.
Well, you had a break from, I was just saying to you, I love the two books of short stories you did, because you've written kind of memoirs, you're still working on that. But I'd say short stories, when they're done well, it's a kind of brilliant genre, that.
Well, I kind of ran out, I felt like in the mid-90s, I felt like I'd run out road with stand-up, and so, I stopped doing it and became like an author. And those two, particularly those two collections of short stories, Barstan and Prates and... Dogcatcher, they're still, you know, they're constantly in print, and you know, I just had all those stories in me, and I think, and then I wrote, you know, several novels, and then two volumes of memoir, which kind of, writing memoir is very good, but it kind of does you in for writing fiction in a way, because you don't have to think about what happened, because you know, it's just so that's what I've been, and I've got another, eventually I will have another I don't know if I'm the first two volumes of memoir are being adapted for television.
Oh, okay.
By a very famous TV script writer.
Oh, marvellous. So, are they casting? Have you got any idea you'd like to see?
No, it's mostly not really. It's mostly, I think, that the guy who's adapting it is mostly interested in the early years, really, of me and my parents in the kind of late 50s, early 60s. So it's a 6-year-old me, which, you know.
And this is Talk Sport, of course, and there are football references.
Football references, quite a lot, actually.
Sandwich Bar, and also the Albanian World Cup. So there's a kind of, you obviously do
you
like
aren't
football.
The biggest football fan, are you? I mean, you like football,
but
you're not.
No, well, I was born in Anfield, you know, about 500 yards from the ground. So I always think that's a bit like Bo Bells for a Cockney, you know. The authentic Scouseness is, although, you know, unless you're an Evertonian, you know, it's connected with how close you were born to Anfield. So I've always had that very intimate relationship, I think, with football, just by being close, you know, but never slightly kind of distance. And also because my parents were communists, you know, the team we supported was Moscow Dynamo.
How did you keep in touch with their results then? It'd be easy
difficult.
It would be, wouldn't it?
In the 50s, it was hard, yeah.
They came here in the mid-40s. They played Chelsea. They're still the record attendance. I think,
think of all on the pitch handing out flowers to each other. That's right. It's a famous old bit of footage of them there. But you imagine, like, your folks coming home gutted, you know, 2-0 to Spartak again. It's all going off in, like, Barnstonworth, like Michael Palin. Now, there's the Sandwich Bar, there are stories in there that you kind of sense are clearly true. There are stories in there that are probably rooted in truth and then are embellished. And then there are clearly some that are made up. And there was one that you told a little while ago that I thought, is that made up or not? You started talking about your sensei and your martial arts. And I thought, where's he going with this? But there is truth in that, apparently, isn't there? If I believe the Daily Mail, who I found something from. But they apparently, you did get into martial arts, didn't you?
Well, over the years, I've been, I don't know, I have dabbled in martial arts, but always with my own teacher. And then because I had this kind of brain injury a few years ago, my balance went. And so I started going to a class, which is Tai Chi Kung Fu. Mm. And it was fantastic. It was a real revelation for me, partly because I've always been interested in martial arts. But being in a class was really good for my egotism, or, you know, clamping down on egotism, really. It was just a wonderful experience to be, like, the worst person in a you know, when you're so competitive, to be in a group where you clearly are never going to be any good is, like, really very therapeutic, I think. So that, and also, you know, I've really grown to love it over the last 4 years, just everything about it. And I feel tremendous kind of camaraderie to everybody who's in the group. And
you're still at the same class, yeah?
That you've been doing. And I'm still doing it. And the mental and the breathing and the chi and the fighting, you know, the fighting aspect of it and stuff is, I'm very, very much into it. And I got it for Christmas, I got all three Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the martial arts, you know. It's,
well, you can learn stuff from that,
Panda,
surely.
Panda can do stuff, you know. He's not to be messed with.
You didn't return to the old TV series, did you, back in the day?
Well, no, that's David terrible. Carradine, it was terrible, yeah, cultural appropriation.
It was awful. Yeah.
No, it's... I never watched it at the time. Well, we thought it was imperialistic. You know, my parents didn't approve of stuff. Yeah. Molly, cultural appropriation. It's also denigrating the people of China.
Now, telling people you were coming in, even Nigel Adley was in earlier on, one of our earlier guests. He said, "Oh yeah, I saw Alexi on his bike over." And a lot of people, they do. You're a bit of a London fixture because you're out and about on the bike. And a number of people have said to me, "Oh yeah, I saw him in the West End on his bike. Yeah, I saw him over Blackfriars Bridge on his bike." And
I've never had anybody say that to me.
Well, no, but you haven't got a bike. Alexi has. And
I actually, since I had my brain injury, I haven't. I've stopped cycling now.
Oh,
no,
blimey.
In 20. Yeah, I was. I mean, for years, people, usually, you know, shouting stuff at people. It didn't always put me in a very good mood, really, I think, cycling. So I haven't ridden a bike since. I remember doing, like, Radio 2 or something with Simon Mayo, and it used to be, like, and this is a pathetic reflection on me, it used to be unique, because I would cycle into broadcast now, and he'd go, "Wow, you've come here on a bike," you know, and it was, like, a really unique thing, but now everybody's on a bike. So
did you notice it getting much more dangerous, especially in London, as the kind of years went on?
I think when you're younger, it doesn't. I think you do. I mean, I got knocked off a few times, really. And first, it doesn't bother you, really. But I think it kind of mounts up a bit, I think. So I think I did get a bit kind of nervous. But I think mostly it was just the egotism. Yeah. But I used to be, like, the only person on a bike in London, more or less. Because it was really and now, like, it's just millions of them.
So you kick off at the end of the month. In Manchester with a tour.
Yeah.
Winchester, Nottingham, Norwich, Oxford, Birmingham, Exeter, Liverpool, Sheffield, Bristol, Margate, and then in London at the Bloomsbury Theatre. That sounds like...
Yeah, it's nice. I'm not, like, playing big rooms. I'm playing, like, multiple nights in smaller venues because I just want to have that more intimate... I'm not interested in playing the big rooms anymore.
Yeah.
Not that there should be anybody there, so... I'm not interested in playing Wembley Arena, and I'm not... I refuse. The fact that I come and fill it is neither here nor there. But I want to play, like I'm playing, like, a little 450-seater in Liverpool, but doing five nights, and I just think that's a more interesting experience.
It's weird seeing comics in enormous domes, though, isn't it? It's an odd experience on big screens and stuff.
I can't imagine what the audience is getting out of it. I think they must be... I think they're kind of essentially entertaining themselves, really. And I think... Yeah, you could get, like, a big issue. Sell us to just caper about on the stage because nobody can see them and then play them like a recording of Peter Kay.
Just what's on the big screen. Yeah,
it's a good
fantastic.
Idea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, our old friends at the Ennis Sherlock Institute have come up with another bit of research here that stressed-out football fans are at greater risk of heart attacks. Health researchers warn the ups and downs of following a team can trigger weight gain and high blood pressure and cause more coughs and colds. And they did this analysis. What I found amazing about this is they analysed 41 fans before and after their game against Germany in the 2014 World Cup.
The 7-1.
When they lost 7-1. Oh, what a surprise. A home World Cup when the team's expected to win and they lose 7-1 in the most humiliating way possible affected their health.
Yeah.
It's not much of a surprise, is it,
I think
really?
You probably would have knocked them for 6. No, that is fair enough.
And we did both like this story. We saw it. This is a chap. What's his name here? It's Mr. Singh of Mandeep Singh Chatter of Wolverhampton. And he's basically opened his own off-license and he's called it Singsbury's Local. Singsbury Local.
And another well-known chain have taken exception. he says it's just a coincidence, not sure about the typeface, Mandeep.
Or the colour.
I think the colour scheme of your typeface, I've made the coincidence thing quite a tough argument, haven't you, really?
It's funny.
But they're obviously their legal department don't see it like that.
It's not like Roger Harrod, our old mate from Roger Harrod's Carpets. And there's nothing they can do about that because that's his name.
Is this a real person?
Oh, yeah, Roger Harrod. Look him up. Roger Harrod's Carpets.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's my. He could open anything. Did Roger Harrod's department store.
So if it's your real name, you'd argue. Well, as you're Alan Dershowitz, you could go and fight the case for him. Couldn't you, really? Right. Yeah. What about you? You were talking the other day about being Britain's foremost Alan Dershowitz lookalike.
Yeah, I am.
And then the following day on Sky TV, he was interviewed because he's got some involvement in the impeachment trial, I think, or he's been asked about it as an expert. But there he is, the guy that defended OJ, was on TV, the man you most look alike, and go out and do kind of kids' parties and stuff like that, and open fates as Britain's foremost Alan Dershowitz lookalike.
I haven't been banging my door down.
No, I'm sure they haven't.
I only look like him if you put in a beard, a full beard, because I don't think he's only got a moustache, hasn't he? Has he got a beard?
Yeah, you're going to have to completely change your look, I think. That's what's going on. Yeah, anyway.
The Star love a scare story, don't they?
Of course they do.
This isn't a weather one. This is to do with the coronavirus, which is a serious story.
Of course it is.
But I don't see it as a threat to the Olympics at this stage. But according to the Olympic bosses, fear the China virus pandemic could disrupt the summer's games in Tokyo. Well, it could, but
it's not that long.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Time then to reflect on the week of sport on TV in the company of Martin Kellner. Martin, very good to see you as always.
And good afternoon to you, boys.
Yeah. So I often take to Twitter, Martin, and see what you're up to. Much of it this week has been railing against West Ham.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Your team.
Well, we're so sort of lacking in pace, it's unbelievable. But this was months ago, earlier in the season, probably about 6-7 weeks ago, St. Maximin of Newcastle, he just ran them ragged, you know, just because he's not the greatest player in the world, but he's got a bit of pace. He is quick, and we have no pace at all. I mean, the irony is Zabaleta, who I love, is one of our best players.
Yeah,
you know, and that's, you know what state you're in when you let Grady Diangana go out.
You're getting worried.
Everything.
It's Antonio. Antonio's the only one with pace.
The only one with any pace at all.
If they don't keep him fit, I think
he's
in
a good
trouble.
Finisher as well. He's not just quick. He doesn't just set him up. He scores goals as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, But, you know, and it's obvious, as Andy said a few times, when he's missing, we're completely stymied. I'm very worried, actually. I've just noticed on the betting, they're fourth favourites to go down. So if it goes according to the betting, they won't go down. They'll just miss by one place. But I wouldn't bet against it, given the fixtures that they've got. They're 15-8. You can still get, if you want to back them to go down. And I'm tempted, you know, 15-8. I thought they'd
the
be
double whammy.
I thought they'd be absolutely odds on, but I watched it obviously on BT Sport.
Yeah, who had all the football midweek, didn't they?
Yeah, loads of it. I watched loads of it on BT Sport, but also watched it on Match of the Day because I am a masochist. I like to see it. I want to see it again.
We'll see if it was as bad as you first thought.
Precisely. And Steve Wilson is commentating, and there's a cutaway of David Sullivan.
Yeah.
And he feels obliged to say something. He says, yes, there's been rumblings of discontent about the ownership. I said, oh, yeah, rumblings of discontent. We bloody hate them, you know. But there you go. They're not the most attractive owners. And then the other thing he said, when Leicester scored the two late goals, you know, after the 80th minute, he said... I hesitate to say West Ham have thrown in the towel. Yeah, about 2 months ago. But anyway, it's all...
Don't let it get you down.
Well, it is getting me down a bit. And I put it on Twitter and most of the replies were, you sounded like Andy Jacobs now. But it is harsh. But it is interesting.
I love that, though, that people... Everybody complains about their team, but apparently I'm the only one that does it.
You do it with real panache, though, Andy. I think you turn it into an art form.
I'm no different to anybody else.
BT do a kind of roundup goal show, and I think via the kind of European show that they do with Julian Aron and James Richardson and the guys, you see the goals as they go in. They cut to the grounds, and because BT had all of the games effectively during the week, they weren't showing them all. You were hoping that their goal show... I went to their goal show on Tuesday night initially to watch that. But, of course, they don't give you the money shot, sadly. They'll give you the goals that weren't given. They'll show you one that was disallowed from a game or a penalty that was missed because they were showing the Henderson-Sheffield United one.
Yeah.
But, obviously, they're not allowed contractually to show you the goals because... I mean, that would be a sensational show if you could cut, rather than it just being described by Robbie and the gang, you'd actually see the girls go in, watch all the moments and the evening unfold.
Yeah. I've never watched that girls show. I've seen the European girls show. I've never watched that one. But I think what's interesting about the football this week is that everybody thinks they have a crisis club. And obviously, as I've said before on here, the most interesting club, whatever we think as Spurs fan, Chelsea fan, West Ham fan, whatever you think, the most interesting club in Britain is Manchester United.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a soap opera, isn't it, really?
It's soap opera there. And I heard Andy earlier this week refer to Roy Keane on after the United-Liverpool match on the Sunday, saying, I think his view was that Lampard's getting an easy ride at Chelsea compared to Solskjaer at Man United, and he's been the topic of conversation all week, really, whether on Match of the Day or on BT. And when he was interviewed after the match against Burnley, he said, "That's what's going through your head at the moment. What are you thinking, basically?" And he said, there are loads of thoughts going through my head as to why I'm standing here right now. And I thought, well, you're standing there right now because it's a contractual obligation. You have to come out and do the interview.
It sounds like a line from a very arty Scandinavian movie or TV series.
Wasn't it Roy Hodgson post-Iceland? Why am I here? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't really know why I'm here.
It's because we just lost to Iceland.
Yeah, and we're major tournament. Chance you telling us why. Take your turn in the stocks, Roy.
Yeah, he also said... this is where we are right now.
Yeah.
So this is where we are right now.
You can't argue with that,
can you? You can't argue with that at all. It is very similar to these people on reality shows say it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's why we're here right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was all. The only thing I noticed about BT is they've brought back the BT box, which disappeared for a while. Remember we were talking when they first brought it in?
Box.
No.
I'm not a massive fan of seeing two managers watch a football match.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Or David Luiz on the Chelsea-Arsenal match.
Yeah.
You got the box for about the last 2 minutes of the match, which was just David Luiz sitting
watching
there.
Watching on the telly.
Sitting there in his socks.
Like Goggle Box.
Yeah.
You mean that match that Arsenal won 5-0?
See what I mean? Turns it into an art form.
I spoke to Martin Keown today. He was laughing because I was quite critical of his comments after the match, and they played them to him. I just thought that, you know, I thought Arsenal did well. They played well with 10 men, but they didn't win the game.
No.
Yeah.
No, indeed, they
did. The police, obviously, are delighted to see. I didn't realise this. My friend's son has just come through. Apparently, they've just announced the TV games. And West Ham versus Tottenham is a Friday night game at 8 o'clock.
Is it? That's ideal. That's ideal.
So, yeah, I think we may need to up the stewarding that evening.
That's a terrible idea.
Friday night. Is that a good idea?
Not a good idea.
Bring it on yourself. Yeah, but anyway, absolutely. We'll see. The wrestling.
I did look at the wrestling. Mainly because BT are making a big noise about it. They've got the wrestling now. They've got that WWE Monday Night Raw live, which obviously is Tuesday morning Raw live here. And I always think to myself, what can you do at 1 o'clock in the morning? Apart, of course, from a show on talk radio. But,
certainly at the weekend.
I'm during the week, of course. If it's a Tuesday morning, though, I was watching. I've not watched wrestling for a long time, or WWE wrestling.
You were looking for Big Daddy, were you?
Yeah, not quite. But
Kent Walton go?
I always wonder why they have a referee. I can't see the point in the referee. But some of the... they're like evangelists when they come out these days. Obviously, you know, they have to build... Because many years ago, Jerry Seinfeld did a gag where he said he can't get on board with boxing, he can't follow boxing, because there's no prior argument. He says, what should happen in boxing? They should have two little cars. One should smash into the other. They should get out of their cars and then start
the fight. So you need a backstory.
You need a bit of a backstory. And of course, WWE are the past masters of a backstory. And they've got a guy called Seth Rollins, who they're calling the Monday Night Messiah, because he's really the man who's pushing Monday Night Wrestling forward.
Right.
Whereas there's some other people who are obviously all part of the same team, but they're pretending to be more in favour of something else, the Royal Rumble or one of the other sort of wrestling franchise things. So the Monday Night Messiah comes out and he starts addressing the audience, very much like an evangelist. Mm. He's very much like Billy Graham's son. Am I running over here?
George. No, you're okay. You are slightly, but keep going for now. There has been a wicket in the cricket. We'll bring you details in a second, but you've got a second.
I've got a second.
You can bring us that. We can bring us...
Finish
your point, Mark.
My point is that at one point, the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, one of his moves was they were outside the ring. Everybody was outside the ring, apart from the referee, who bizarrely was still in the ring. He jumped on this guy, and I can't get the name at the moment because I've got time. One of the Viking Raiders, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And he jumped on him, but he missed completely, full both feet.
Wow.
And there was a guy with a camera there, you know, a camera on one of the...
That's a bit of luck,
one of the TV crew.
Yeah.
And he... banged the TV crew. The camera went straight. And I thought, for a moment, I thought he'd really done it. But I suspect...
It was part of the choreography.
I have to applaud them. It's brilliant. But I don't think I'd pay £19.95 for the Royal Rumble. Well, if you want to, you can.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Just a reminder, the Clips of the Week podcast is available to download separately, where you got this one. But we've got a little bonus clip for you, actually. This was one end. Andy noticed on Fisherman's Blues. And Andy, they always like to play a bit of music, don't they? Coming out of the breaks.
And now they've got the 2 hours, they play even a slightly longer version. And it's all sort of, you know, it's a big feature of the show.
It's a big production number. Well, that was the plan anyway.
Fisherman's Blues with Nigel Botherway on Talk Sport 2.
I was just waiting there for Karen to play us another song, but you'll have to wait till 2:45 for our next bit of fishing music.
Can't wait that long.
No, definitely not. I love the silence.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Nothing it's better deafening. On radio, isn't it?
Deafening. That's us then. We're back on Monday. Have a fine weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ,
the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.